I'd like you to turn with me tonight to start with to Matthew chapter 26. We shall just read a few verses here. Our subject tonight is Christ's astonishing betrayal, or the betrayal of Christ by Judas. I don't think I've ever heard a Bible study or even a message upon Judas. It's not one of the subjects that we immediately turn to. And yet it has many questions. It perplexes some, and there are important lessons for us tonight. Whether we know the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves, or whether as yet we still stand in sin outside of Christ. Christ's astonishing betrayal by Judas. Matthew 26, we just read these three verses as an introduction. Then one of the 12, verse 14, called Judas Iscariot, and went unto the chief priests. And he said these astonishing words, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, something like 100, 200 pounds, in today's money. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Well, it's a very warm evening. We have a number of verses to turn to that might help you to follow. And so you know where we're going. We shall have seven very brief points and then seven brief lessons from the life and the sad end of Judas. Like Mary Magdalene, there is a Gnostic gospel called the Gospel of Judas. We don't give any attention to it. But really, his life is the very opposite of the life we considered 2 weeks ago. The amazing grace of Mary Magdalene, the grace that Christ showed her. But Judas is the opposite. So many privileges. So many opportunities, and yet spurned. Well, I want to start tonight. The first point, this might be a surprising place to start. If you turn to Genesis in chapter 50, it's a well-known verse, verse 20. I think this has relevance to the life of Judas. It's about Joseph. Genesis 50 and verse 20, and the first point is that Judas's life is part of the eternal plan of redemption. That's really what this verse says in Genesis. Genesis 50, 20. "As for you," said Joseph, not Judas, but Joseph, "ye thought evil against me." Well, Joseph is a type of Christ. "But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Well, Judas thought much evil against Christ, but God permitted it so that Christ could save much people for himself. The plan of redemption through Joseph and through Judas. The second point is this, if you turn to the Psalms, I could turn to a number of references in the Old Testament that speak very clearly of Judas. And the second point is that Judas's life is clearly prophesied in the Old Testament. Psalm 41 and verse 9. If you doubt prophecy, look at this verse. Tell me if this applies to anybody else. This is King David speaking. I believe this is one of the references referred to in Acts 1 when it says David spake concerning Judas. Psalm 41 verse 9. "Yea, my own familiar friend," one of the twelve disciples, "in whom I trusted." Oh, Judas was trusted. Trusted even though Christ knew that he would be betrayed by him. He was trusted, as we shall see, as the treasurer of the band of followers of Christ, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread. It's even more specific. Remember he said, the one that dips his bread, as he came and supped with Christ, hath lifted up his heel against me, his power, his person. How extraordinary that King David should prophesy not in one but three or four details, his friend, the one he trusted, the one that ate bread with him, the one that lifted up his power, his life against Christ. Just turn you to one other reference. It's in Zechariah and chapter 11. Again, I think this is very specific, Zechariah and chapter 11, and we read verse 12 and 13. If you didn't think the previous reference in Psalms, I could have turned you to two others, but time doesn't permit. Look at this one, Zechariah and chapter 11, and there in verse 12, and I said unto them, this is Christ speaking through the prophet Zechariah, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver, exactly the price. It possibly was a proverb, 30 pieces of silver, that's being mentioned. And then that's the price that Judas would charge, so to speak. But verse 13, and the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And what this means is a potter was a menial job. If the potter made a pot, it was just worth a few coins. A goodly price I was prized of them, and I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. Who was the money given to? Those that operated in the house of the Lord, the chief priests. Astonishing prophecy. So the first point, Judas is part of the eternal plan of redemption. And the second point, his life is fulfillment of the very detailed prophecy in the Old Testament. Now this throws up a question. Was Judas guilty before he was born? No. Of course, the Lord is outside of time. His plan of redemption was outside of time. The covenant of grace was conceived before time began. And this is one of the details of the plan of redemption. And as we shall see, Judas willingly, voluntarily of his own will, became an accomplice to this. Well, the third point is this. Judas was chosen by Christ. If you turn to John's Gospel, I don't really apologize. There is much about Judas, and I've left out the references which are duplicated somewhat, and just focused upon the ones that give us additional information. John 6 and 67 through to the end of the chapter. And this is what it says. Remember, this is earlier on in the ministry of Christ. He hasn't yet got to Gethsemane, the Last Supper. He's not yet anywhere near Calvary. But John 6:66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back, not the 12, but the others, the wider group, the 70, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? What searching words those were. I wonder how many of the disciples thought, is he talking to me? Am I among the number? And yet he could be saying that I'm a false professor. Will ye also go away? Could it be me? Am I a phony? Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? We can't go to anyone else. You alone are the entrance to heaven. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now this is interesting, it's Simon Peter. Simon Peter is going to be contrasted with Judas. Verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? He's chosen Judas. And one of you is a devil. A devil. Not literally a devil. But the devil has occupied Judas. He's taken up residency inside the heart and the mind of Judas. It's not yet seen, but Christ knows. Christ has chosen this man, and yet he's been chosen to be occupied by Satan. Searching words. Verse 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot. Iscariot just means Cherioth, where he came from, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Christ knows. He knows who, how, where, when, why. All the detail. None of it's hidden. The plan of redemption is totally open to Christ. And he knows this man. And knows his heart. Turn to John 12, just a few chapters later. Just a few more verses here, which confirm this point that Christ chose and knew who Judas was. Verse 4, John 12, 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, repeating the same point which should betray him, why was not this ointment, the ointment that was used of Mary, not Mary Magdalene, another one, to anoint the feet of Christ? Why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence? 30 shekels. 30 pieces of silver. 300 pence. There's a bit of symmetry here. This he said, Judas, not that he cared for the poor. He couldn't give a hoot for the poor. He was out for number one. He was a greedy man. But because he was a thief and had the bag, he kept the purse. He was the treasurer. And Bear stole what was put therein, something for me, something for you. Judas was at it already. I find that very challenging. Judas's sin didn't just happen. Sin doesn't just happen. Somebody doesn't commit adultery because it suddenly occurs to them. Somebody doesn't take somebody else's name in vain and gossip, because it just happens. There's a thought process. There's a choice. In the heart of every one of us, sin accumulates, it progresses, it develops. First the temptation, and then the seed is planted. Robert Murray McShane, that great Scottish divine, who died at the age of just 29. He said, within my heart lies the seed of every sin known unto man. The seed, not the sin, the seed. The seed of Judas's sin was his greed, his love of money. That's why he says, why are you wasting? Waste, note that word, waste. Why are you wasting this money on Him, Christ. Oh, the signs are there. The signs there in my life and your life. Not that we'll fall from the faith, I trust not. But are the signs of greater sin? Nip it in the bud. Spot the seed before it germinates, before it takes root and brings its fruit. And so He was chosen. Let's turn to chapter 13 of John. We see another reference. The fourth heading, very briefly, is Christ's detailed foreknowledge. This isn't a repetition. We see additional detail. John 13:2. Time is moving on now. Christ has already announced it in chapter 6. We're in chapter 13. This is the beginning of 13 to 17. Before Christ goes to Calvary, He spends those chapters speaking to His disciples alone. Verse 2. Supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Christ knew in chapter 6, chapter 12, now Satan takes up his occupation of the house of Judas. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. And after that He poureth water into a basin, He began to wash the disciples' feet. Verse 6, then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet only? And so on. Verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, the Psalms, Zechariah, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Oh, the beautiful intricacy, the cross-quoting of scripture. This is a divine book. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, that ye may believe that I am He. And verse 26 and 27, I'm skipping through. Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give supper, a sop, a piece of bread, whom I have dipped it. That's Zechariah 11, fulfilled. And when He had dipped the sop, He gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after that the sop entered, Satan entered into Him. Then said Jesus unto Him. Here's a glimpse of the humanity of Christ. We've seen the divinity. Christ knew what would happen. He foretells what will happen. Here's the humanity. You see the humanity and the divinity are side by side. Jesus said unto Him, that you do, do it quickly. I'm a real man. You're going to betray me. Do it quickly. Don't elongate the suffering of the betrayal of the Son of Man. Do it quickly. Do you see something of Christ there? God and man. Turn to 17, chapter 17 and verse 12. I'm going as quick as I can, but the threads need to be pulled through so that we can see them. John 17, 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. He's talking specifically of the disciples, except but the son of perdition. That word perdition, you know, it's very similar to the word which Judas had used when he spoke of the ointment being wasted. This is the son of wantonness and waste. Oh, Christ knew what this man was saying. And now he uses the same word to describe this same man. The son of wastedness. That the scripture might be fulfilled. You just turn back to Matthew 26:8. You don't need to. We've cross-referred it already. But just to show you how the word of God is so intricately connected. Matthew 26:8. Perhaps we read the verse before. Then came unto a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, we know it was Judas, because that was what it said in John 4, he said, to what purpose is this waste? And think of Judas's life. To what purpose was his waste? The ointment was for Christ, to care for him. Judas was also betraying Christ for our sake, for Christ's sake. I find that extraordinary, how the word of God speaks through Judas. Let's move on. The fifth, we can stay in Matthew 26 if you're there. His awful betrayal. We've got to go a bit further to see now how he does it. How the whodunit unfolds, if we can say it like that. Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? It's greed. It's money. What a short-term strategy. There was no gain, really. A field? He would become a byword. Akel Dama, the field of blood. 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he's been to the chief priests. Now he's looking. Where? When? How? Can I betray him? But Christ already knows where and when and how. Let me go a bit quicker. The sixth point. Things started so well for Judas. He was called by Christ. I won't turn the references. He was called and he followed. Many are called. Few are chosen. And some follow, but they fall by the wayside. And Judas was one of them. Judas was given the responsibility for the bag, for the money, as we've seen. He was given power and authority. I believe he went out and he exorcised demons. Just because you do amazing things, it doesn't mean you're a child of God. Many, many will come unto me on that day and say, I did this and that. Christ will say, away from me. I never knew you. He was given authority and power. But you know, it's not how we start. You may grow up in Sunday school. You may have parents that love the Lord. You may not. You may have many advantages. But it's whether you persevere, because all who are in Christ will persevere. None have I lost except him, the son of wantonness and waste. His awful end. Go to Acts. We read it. We can do this very quickly. Acts chapter 1. I find it fascinating that at the beginning of Simon Peter, the one who also betrayed Christ, but truly repented, at the beginning of his sermon in Acts 1, the life story of Judas has to be mentioned. He has to say, Scripture has been fulfilled. Verse 17, he was numbered, he was one of us. He was part of the ministry. Do you know, just because you're a pastor, it doesn't mean that you are a child of God. Look how many people in the recent decade have fallen into terrible sin in the ministry. Seems today that more pastors fall than the flock. Just because you're in high office, just because you're a Sunday school teacher, just because you do anything, doesn't mean you're a child of God if you haven't really, truly repented of sin. He was numbered with us. And this man goes and buys a field and becomes a watchword to fulfill prophecy, his awful, awful end. Well, let's come to the lessons very quickly. That's the seven elements as I see them of his life, betrayal, and his awful death. He goes and takes his own life, a cowardly thing to do. A terrible way. It wasn't his life to end. Life is a gift given to us. We can't take it. That's for God to determine our days. Well, the lessons. First, obviously, the potential for great sin within us. Never, ever underestimate what you and I are capable of doing. Terrible things. In Judas's case, it seems to have been greed that was the seed. But there was a lack of love, a lack of respect. There was theft. One thing led to another. There was a following, but not a loving. He didn't love the church. He didn't love Christ. He didn't love the fellow disciples. He betrayed them as well. His heart was taken up by other things. What's our particular sin? What's the battle that you're having? Have you allowed that seed to germinate? Deal with it quickly. Don't let it grow and take root. Secondly, Judas was ultimately responsible for what he did. Not Christ. It wasn't God that made him fall. No, all of us fall of our own will if we fall. Judas was ultimately responsible. Yes, Satan entered him, but Satan can enter our thoughts and our hearts. And that doesn't mean we've sinned. That's temptation. But when Judas responded to the temptation, that's the line that gets crossed. When the thought comes into the mind and into the heart, when we entertain it, when we play with it, what if? Maybe if I just, no, stop it then. That's where the battle is won and lost. As Augustine called it, evil concupiscence. It's where the seed takes root. Don't let it. Some say, poor Judas. He wasn't given a chance. It was already prophesied. No, no, no. We are responsible for everything. It was my wife's fault. No, it wasn't. Take your own responsibility for what you do, what you say. If you gossip, it's your fault. You've allowed the thought to come out of the lips to run somebody down. Thirdly, the great potential for sin. Secondly, he was ultimately responsible. Thirdly, outward commitment, church membership. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's a real inner life. Oh, I hope it helps. I hope into the membership of this church, we take church membership so seriously that we want to hear a testimony. We want to see the reality of Christ in the life, what we've left behind, the new tastes, the new desires. We want to see somebody that's so keen and enthusiastic to be around the Lord's table that they want to come, that it hurts them if they can't be at the table, that they want to covenant with the people of God. But just because you're a church member, sadly there will be people who get into the church of Jesus Christ. And I've been fooled, we've been fooled. And they demonstrate with their life that their lips were not consistent with what they did and how they thought and what they desired. The third point, the outward life. It doesn't necessarily mean what the inward life says. Fourthly, sublime opportunities. He had the best teacher. He heard the parable of the prodigal son. He knew what he needed to do even after he'd betrayed Christ. He knew the way back from the dark paths of sin. And he feigned repentance. But it wasn't genuine. Do you know, you can never tell somebody how to repent. Oh, just do this, 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 and this. Oh, people will just tick the list. You can't tell a church member who, if they've sadly fallen into sin, well, you need to do this and this and this, and in 12 months' time, we'll have you back. No. You need to see and to feel and to sense the genuineness of repentance. And the contrast I draw here is, look at Simon Peter. Was Simon Peter's fall any less than Judas's? I don't know. We tend to put sin into categories, don't we? To deny Christ 3 times when you've said you wouldn't 3 times, is that less bad than to sell Christ to the chief priest? I don't think so. It's sin. It's betrayal. But Simon Peter's repentance was genuine. And Judas's wasn't. Remember Judas? He saw Christ's miracles with his own eyes. He heard the teaching. He heard every parable. He had the best teacher. And yet, he didn't find the way back from the dark paths of sin. The human heart, says Jeremiah, is beyond understanding. So deceitful is the human heart. Perhaps there's a question here. We think of a loved one, a boy, a girl, a son, a friend, a husband, a wife, a loved one, and we say, could we have done more? Could we have said something? Where did we go wrong? Why did it have to happen? Maybe the disciples thought that. Do you know, we can't answer those questions. If a son, a daughter, a loved one, a friend, somebody in the church, if they go astray, we have to leave that with the Lord and we have to say they had the opportunity. Ultimately, the Lord deals with each soul individually. We pray for them, we care for them, we have compassion for them, we teach them, we'll do anything we can for them. But it's the Lord's work. The Holy Spirit changes that boy, that girl's heart, not me, not you. Fifthly, we come to a conclusion. The danger of unconfessed sin. How many years? 2, 3? When did he first put his hand in the bag? I don't think it was a month before. I think the sin started a long time before. He was probably even greedy and materialistic as a child. You know, many of our sins as adults, we look, we develop an appetite. Even before conversion, when we're children, children here tonight, deal with your sin. Take them to Christ while you're young. Our besetting sins beset us while we were yet young. And I'm sure that was the case with Judas. Unconfessed sin opens the door wide to Satan. James 1:14 would be a reference. Sixth point, the importance of true repentance. We've dealt with that. Seventh point, the tragedy of a wasted life. Wasted ointment, a wasted life. The son of wantonness, the son of waste. 3 years in seminary with Christ. But you know there's no middle ground, is there? You cannot be half a Christian. You can't be a foot in and a foot out. You can't hedge your bets. You're either all for Christ or none at all. Judas sadly was not for Christ. He was for self. He was for materialism. Christ says to us through the letter of Jude that we are to have mercy and to pluck the brands from the burning, to save others and snatching them from the fire. There's still hope. If you've fallen into terrible sin, sin that I don't want to know about, take it to the Lord. Be a Simon Peter, not a Judas. Repent sincerely. You will know how to repent if you truly are repentant. Christ is of supreme value. Judas didn't value Christ. He wouldn't allow Christ to be anointed by Mary. And so he betrayed him. It's been said this by Octavius Winslow. Who delivered Jesus up to die? Not Judas for money. Not Pilate for fear. Not the Jews for envy. But the Father for love. That's why Christ was betrayed. Christ's astonishing betrayal by Judas. It had to happen. But it was Judas's choice. And there are lessons there for us. Sin is serious. Sin in a child can become the sin of an adult. And you might even get into the church and become a church member. But if you've never truly repented, you take your sin with you. And small sin becomes big sin. And big sin becomes addiction. And addiction can lead to betrayal of everybody. May the Lord help us to learn these lessons.